some of the key messages that came away, that we're taking away in government from what the ACT is putting forward are the critical role of standards and the opportunity to more effectively employ standards to support a variety of different management functions, including acquisition, but also requirements definition and so forth. I think also it's important to take an ecosystem sort of perspective. It's not just a technical thing or an acquisition thing. It's also requirements and policy. It's training. I think things like that.
And Kathleen, from your perspective, when you look at when you read the white paper, what stood out to you?
The collaboration between OGP and Schmidt's office was the first step, and it was actually our staff saying we need to really discuss as transparently as possible information sharing and what that really means. And so going to ACT-IACT and partnering with a SIG has proved, we think, invaluable. We are very excited about what is in here, and it's really the whole issue of those interoperability standards. What do we really need to get specific on? Then the ecosystem or the roadmap around these interoperability standards for information sharing. This is just key. With the reduced budget and staffing, et cetera, within the government, and then, of course, on the industry side, the cost of just complying with what government needs going forward and the continual change and requirements on the information technology side to lay out the standards and requirements up front, we think is beneficial to both the government and industry. And so we think that this paper is almost a very good example of how government industry can collaborate and how we can actually define what it is government needs as opposed to, an RFP that leaves folks guessing.
I want to go through a couple of the recommendations specifically. First off, I think one of the interesting ones that pop out, and I think going back to the ecosystem statement you both brought up, was the recommendation to incorporate standard requirements into all strategic management processes. Let me start with Kathleen, because you guys do at OGP deal a lot with the government-wide perspective, but how do you incorporate into that perspective, that strategic management perspective? Because a lot of people would point to acquisition as the be-all, end-all.
Acquisition is obviously critically important, but so is information technology strategic planning. And by putting the standards process together that both government and industry can follow, we can sort of weave it through the entire process. And so what do you need in terms of processes to set those up? Your capital planning phase and then the acquisition process. One of the things that we're challenged with in OGP is we are supposed to be working on government-wide policy for information technology. And heretofore, we've not had sort of this guideline to do this in terms of how we need to do information sharing.
I would echo that. When you think about the role of my office, we're focused on terrorism-related information sharing, but we're doing it in a cross-cutting best practices way. Our core standards frameworks here are things like the Federal Identity Credential and Access Management Roadmap, or the NEAM, the National Information Exchange Model, which is the leading instantiation of the Federal Enterprise Architecture Data Reference Model and used by federal, state, local agencies and internationally across the board well beyond our terrorism-related mission. So what we're trying to do is just add a little bit more coherence there. Kind of the core challenge we face these days is the crushing financial situation we find ourselves in the public sector. It's bad at the federal level. It's much worse at the state and local level. Part of the solution going forward is to reduce fragmentation by increasingly having more and more effective interoperability and information sharing and solutions so that we can work cross-boundary. And these recommendations give us a pathway to doing that. An example here is, and it's cited in the paper, the FBI used these kinds of approaches with their core index system. And because of it, they were able to reduce the cost for state and local agencies to integrate their legacy record management systems into the FBI's law enforcement system, the National Law Enforcement Information Sharing System, by about a factor of 25. So there's material savings, and then those savings will play off further downstream in terms of ongoing operations and maintenance costs. We think there's a real potential here to shift the business model as these approaches get more traction more broadly.
How is NEAM built very similar to the way that these recommendations that this white paper kind of designed? And then the follow-on to that is the streamlining of governance. How does that work within NEAM?
There's a lot of progress with NEAM over the last number of years, right, in terms of greater adoption across different communities, different federal agencies, state and local agencies. Just recently, Virginia, through appropriations language in the state of Virginia, adopted NEAM as the basis for driving efficiencies, reuse, shared services. Now, the governance challenge is pretty big, right? And we think that better leverage of the, you know, the CXO councils, the CIO council, the Chief Acquisition Officers Council, the CHICO Council, the CFO Council is going to be a critical part of the way forward.
Right, to play off of that, in terms of this whole issue of the standards governance, how do we sort of roll that out? It will require a sort of a cross-section of the councils to begin to see and use the standards process to drive the strategic goal setting and then the capital planning, how we make those investments, and then how we're acquiring. When we look across the bodies, we're seeing more and more where certainly the CIOs and the CAOs are partnering up, and then where the CFOs are also beginning to see the value in standardization. You know, in the financial area, the OMB has limited, if not reduced completely, new financial systems. So in terms of bringing financial systems together and opportunities for shared services, having standards, one in the financial community, as well as standards in terms of governance and the sharing of information, will really go a long way to reduce the cost of financial systems, for example, and how we pull data, because as everyone knows, we need to have standard financial data that we pull out, financial and budgetary data. I think for the CIO community, having this set of standards gives them the ability to say to their business partners, we really need to follow how we exchange information across our systems at our agency, or information that we exchange between the federal level and the state and local level, or even into other, you know, with other countries. So this paper is sort of the first step. There is a list of activities that we still need to do to carry this out.
Going back to the core of your governance question, it's so critically important that, you know, while we're expanding the governance on the federal side, that we recognize and embrace the need to do the work in existing international voluntary consensus standards organizations and industry bodies. So, you know, a recent thing that the NEAM community did was embrace the NEAM UML profile, which was done through, you know, a mainstream industry standards group, the Object Management Group, that drives model-driven architecture approaches. And, you know, that actually has opened up a lot of doors in terms of industry adoption and also greater use, right? Because it demonstrates a government commitment to doing the work in industry settings and leveraging existing standards organizations. So that's critical, too, for this to work, is that sincere partnership.